Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 35, episode 3 of The Daily Zeitgeist for June 13th, 2018. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. It's not unusual to be loved by Jack O'Brien. It's not unusual to have fun with Jack O'Brien. That is courtesy of Zinc Addict, at Zinc Addict on Twitter.
Hope you get help.
Yeah, man. And I'm thrilled to be joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Miles, so happy, cause too gray I found my friends in my head. I'm so horny, cause I have ED, but I can't get it done. I need my meds.
I just made that second half of the song up, but shout-outs to at Chewable Sarcasm for that Kurt Cobain, Nirvana-inspired AKA.
What's that song called? Lithium? Is that lithium?
No, it is. It is lithium.
It is.
Right?
Yeah. I was just going to say lithium. I'm sure one of the side effects of lithium is
impotence.
ED. So there you go.
So it in all a way, I fucked that up.
Those were the honest lyrics
yeah,
that
they
Miles
were.
Was singing. Yeah.
What did they treat lithium for? Like depression?
I think it was for depression.
You got it.
You got it, pal.
God, what a time.
Yeah.
Drugs.
They were just like pulling shit off the table of the.
Oh, man, feeling less energetic?
Table.
Do this cocaine, man. Yeah. You just press this fucking
Have
lithium.
We tried silver? Yeah, right. Sure, try silver.
Colloidal silver.
Yeah. We are thrilled to have in our third seat one of the all time great Zeitgeist guests and also one of the great stand up comedians working today. He is Billy Wayne Davis.
Hey, you guys, I'm not going to sing.
Oh, damn it.
Fuck, man. Leaving us out on this limb all by ourselves.
What do you think of Jack not screaming out Der Daily Zeitgeist in the beginning of the show? You know, a lot of people use that to wake themselves up.
Now, not doing it?
Because he's been doing it like speaking voice.
I heard it on an episode and it seemed annoying to me.
Well, that's so. The show isn't for you.
It never has been.
You know what I mean?
Great point. See? All right.
This isn't about you.
It'll be back tomorrow. Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see. We don't know. We can't really commit to anything here.
All right. Before we get into your search history, overrated, underrated, Billy, we like to tell our listeners what is coming up on today's episode. This is a new feature, so you can get your bearings. We're going to talk about the fact that Michael Cohen is expected to flip. We're going to talk about Rod Rosenstein and his little feud that he's having with Nunez.
I don't think there's a tilde on that end. I don't think it's an enye. I think he's just a Nunes.
When you're from where I am.
I don't think you over-ethnicize.
Over-ethnicize.
I think if you ask those dudes what their end game is, they'd be like, what do you mean? What's that?
End what?
You mean? Okay, I'm sorry. Go on. We digress.
I don't know how I'm going to die.
More Scott Pruitt fuckery. We're going to take a little preview of the World Cup and just talk about World Cups in general. Miles is a football aficionado.
Football.
We're going to potentially talk about the emoluments lawsuit against Trump, which, pretty interesting. Seems to be pretty open and shut, but we'll see what's unfolding in that lawsuit. We're going to take a look at the primaries that occurred yesterday, and we're going to do some pop culture recommendations. Because, we've turned you on to some good shit in the past, so we will attempt to keep that streak up. But first off, we like to ask our guest, Billy, what is something that you have searched recently that is revealing about who you are?
I searched how to get lime deposits out of your refrigerator.
All right.
There's lime deposits in a refrigerator?
Yeah.
Where?
Where you have like if you get water out of the door, you have an ice maker.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, see, I just joined that group of people.
Me too.
As I put an ice maker in my house, and I feel like I have nowhere else to go up in terms of, I think I've hit the ceiling.
No, there is some days where I just sit where I don't have anything to do. I'm like, man, I got everything I really need.
Yeah, I got an ice maker now.
But it was slowing down, and I looked it up, and it's like it's a thing that happens in Los Angeles because of the hard water.
Right.
Lime deposits. And if you don't maintain it every year or so, you have to get a new refrigerator.
Oh, shit. So how do you, I'll ask you off mic.
Yeah, it's not easy.
One ice maker owner to another.
Where now I'm in the decision, do I hire somebody or do I just do it?
Yeah. So. Well, you know what? I'm sure, I was having trouble installing it. there are many people in the Zeit Gang that were willing to help, you know, so maybe you can get some pointers from somebody out there, because we have many experts in the Zeit Gang, from everything from augmented reality to genome projects. I've seen a lot of people's Twitter bios. There's some interesting people out there. And plumbers, whoever, anything. We're out here. We're a community of
and
helpers.
And I enjoy learning how everything works. And it also, like, I know enough about myself where if I do these tasks, I also think about, like, jokes, and I get creative while I'm doing these. Like, if you do this, this works, so you don't have to, like, think about it creatively. You have to follow instructions.
Right.
Yeah, mindless tasks
are
the best.
So.
Yeah, just watch out for if you have filtered water that is making the ice, make sure you change that filter, a lesson I learned the hard way. It is gross.
This message brought to you by Frigidaire, calorie series.
Billy Wayne, what is something that is overrated?
Being affiliated with any political party.
Okay.
I think that's overrated at this point. Because what you're allowing is someone else to make very important decisions for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're being very tribal about things. And at this point, both of them have been hijacked. So now everyone has to really think about shit.
Think for themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think
I don't know. That sounds like a lot of work, man.
It is.
I know. So just let us tell you what to think.
Yeah.
On this second rate podcast.
I mean, Zeit Gang party.
I mean, I am promising people on this upcoming tour, if you give it's $10 to come see me on do stand up, and if you come to the show, I promise I will guarantee you will get into heaven.
So. Wow. Okay, great.
Yeah.
That sounds
The videos are coming soon. Like, this is something I guarantee. And if you don't, come see me.
Okay.
I'll give you your $10 back.
Yeah, if you don't end up in heaven,
yeah,
you end up in hell.
Yeah.
You could be like, yo, Satan, give me 1 second.
And if you end up in purgatory, if that's real, I'll give you $5.
I mean, who's to say what we're experiencing now isn't purgatory or heaven or hell?
No, this is pretty much hell, I think.
We don't know, you know?
Now, I think we all know who the Democratic Party has been hijacked by, but the Republicans seem straight up and down to me. They seem like they're just on the up and up. Now, who are you saying that the Democrats have been hijacked by?
I mean, at the same corporate interest.
Yeah.
Just not, I mean,
right.
The way I've always put it is, like, I like the Democrat. I pick the Democrats because they're, like, nice to me right before they fuck me.
Right.
And the Republicans are like, hey, I didn't. Okay, we're doing it. All right. And we're done. Shit. That's
that hurt.
Yeah. That's kind of how it's been for a long time.
Despite the DNC making pledges like, oh, we won't take money from fossil fuel companies anymore, or whatever. It's like, there are plenty of, what about banks and other people? I mean, you know, because we live in a corporatocracy now.
So yeah.
That's really, yeah. I'm with you on that. Just figure out what the fuck you want to see in the world. Take that separate from what you think the platform is of each party, and then, you know, go from there.
Mm-hmm.
Vote your interests.
Yeah.
Now, can you vote in the primaries if you're an independent?
I think so. You just declare you're Republican. There's some, like, trick or something, because
right.
you know how,
I'm not sure how
upfront
it works in California,
and great our system is.
Yeah.
So there's no loopholes or anything.
Second to finally, Billy Wayne, what is underrated?
I feel like compromise is underrated.
Okay.
At this point, because, yeah, I mean, the joke is like, oh, so no one gets what they want. But it's like, it's usually everyone kind of gets what they want.
Yeah, right. The optimistic view of it is, yeah.
Yeah.
It will work out for everybody. Just, you're getting less of what you want, but you're still getting something that you want.
Yeah, it's like a good competition where it's like the two best people are just competing to see who's the best. Like, I would, you know, like, I'm sure at one point Jordan and Kobe were in some private gym somewhere just playing.
Right.
Or their egos. They were just projecting their egos onto the court and letting them duel it out.
Yeah, that's true, too. But, I mean, as far as their egos, that's what makes them the most competitive people. But to them, it's not even about money. That's just some weird bragging thing they can do at this point. But I'm saying that competition, that's a beautiful thing where you can – that's a compromise where it's like, ah, you won. Let's do it again. This is about seeing who's better.
My favorite example of this is Star Wars. Because if you go back and look at interviews with George Lucas on the set of the first three Star Wars, he's constantly complaining about the studio interfering and not letting him do his vision and making him work with all these other people who aren't letting him, like, execute his vision perfectly. And the first three Star Wars are definitely better than the ones where everybody just got it, misremembered how the first three Star Wars were made, and we're like, it's all George Lucas's vision, and so they made the prequels, which were exclusively his vision, and he didn't have to compromise with anybody. He didn't have to take anybody's input, just completely uncompromised vision, and they were the Star Wars prequels.
Boom.
Mm-hmm. So that's a good example.
Thanks, man. Yeah, and it's funny that we bring this up because apparently today some of George Lucas's ideas for further Star Wars movies have been revealed, and they're crazy. Like, they are.
No.
Yeah. He wanted to create a world of micro creatures who all exist inside the blood of Jedis to give them Jedi power. Like, the midichlorians thing, the worst part of the prequels, the midichlorians being like...
midichlorians, Jack?
My God, I'm so sorry.
Wow. I mean, I'm sorry, Star Wars fans. The so non-male toxic ones.
He fell asleep on Ambien.
Right.
While watching Inner Space.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, I
and
love
he
that
was
movie.
Like, oh, I got an idea.
Yeah.
Get Mickey Mouse on the phone right now.
Right. Yeah,
yeah. They're saying
not Mickey, you didn't sell it to Mickey.
The excerpts that they have from this interview, where he said the next three Star Wars films, we're going to get into a microbiotic world, but there's this world of creatures that operate differently than we do. I call them the Wills, and the Wills are the only ones who actually control the universe. They feed off the Force. If I'd held on to the company, I could have done it, and then it would have been done. Of course, a lot of the fans would have hated it, just like they did Phantom Menace and everything, but at least the whole story from beginning to end would be told.
I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the deal, you guys. When I get $100 million, you can't talk to me and record it.
Yeah, how's that?
Okay, because I'm going to, I bet I'll say some crazy stuff, too.
Yeah, I will be.
Yeah, I bet my ideas are out
so
there.
So disconnected from reality.
I'm going to shoot the dog into space right now.
What did you just say?
I'm going to shoot the monkey dog in this thing.
The monkey dog.
And then later on, he was like, he probably watched him and was like, you know what? You know what, Disney? You should just take this.
You guys y'all still want to buy this?
I am. You guys have let me been driving, and I am hammered.
Yeah. Okay. The making of The Phantom Menace, the first prequel, is just an amazing study in arrogance, where he's like, all right, we're gonna green screen, like, you just see him like drawing all over everybody else's storyboards and shit, just like totally just high on, you know, what everybody's been telling him for the past 15 years, and has
It'd
no
be
idea
hard not to.
Yeah
the
it's
whole
true.
World is like, yo, thank you.
Right.
Well, it's
and then
just,
he's like, I'm right.
It's basically the main misconception in American life is this idea. We always revise the narrative to be one great
singular
person,
yeah, thing,
as opposed
right.
to, you know, hundreds of great people working together. You know, we like our narratives with a single protagonist that mm-hmm. is, you know, everybody tells him he can't do it. And it's like, no, Rudy
and
got help from tons of people, and you know, everybody was okay with him.
You're talking
playing.
About Rudiger?
Yeah, Rudy Rudiger. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, also a con man. And man who went to prison.
Oh, wait, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, Rudy. Oh,
you didn't know that?
No, I mean, I didn't give a fuck thing. About the movie. I was like, okay, Sean Astin, cool. I'm like 10 years old, and I didn't really like
it's
football.
It's a good movie.
Oh, yeah, it's a great movie.
It's a great fucking movie.
Yeah, but, wonderful movie.
I thought you meant, but like, he conned him because he was so works. Terrible. He was like, and he still got on the field, like
right.
a smooth operator.
No, so, I mean, he did. It's true that he got on the field despite, you know, what probably some coaches being like, you're too small, and he was carried off the field. But I think Joe Montana, who was the quarterback at the time, said they did it sarcastically.
Right.
Because they were
like
this,
this guy's
such an asshole. Right. And he was such an asshole that he then spent the next 10 years pitching his story to Hollywood, just going around, and people were like, yo, man, like, this isn't that interesting. And then he revised it,
okay.
So he was like more of a badass, and then revised it, so he was more of a badass. And then, like, finally it got made. But I mean, think about the type of person you have to be like, all right, I've graduated college. Now what? Let's make a movie about my college
about
experience.
About me. I did it. Scamming my. Yeah. Wait, so then what happened with the con man shit?
He was involved in like a pump and dump thing or something, some financial crime where he.
Pump and dump?
Yeah. Just like some.
That's a different thing. Where I'm
No, that's okay, your sexual proclivity. Yeah, wait,
what was this you're talking about?
It was just like a financial scam.
Whatever. Yeah. Some white collar crime.
Yeah. I think he also, it was like he was selling sports drinks that were like the Rudy sports drinks and got a bunch of people to invest in them. Like he was the next big thing.
Do you want
and,
the energy of a equipment manager and who then played half a and, second of a game?
Yeah, and then took their money and never like invested in anything. All right. Besides that myth. Billy Wayne, what is a myth? What's something people think is true that you know to be false?
Oh, that just working hard is enough.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that I don't think we teach people. Is like, I think some people are like, you have to teach, like, you work hard, you're going to, good things happen. But you also have to work smart.
Yep.
And we're not, I don't think we're taught that.
Give me an example here.
I mean, I think people get the misconception that if they just put in hard work, and not even think about what they're doing, they just get up and work hard.
Right, where that energy is going.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. What they're putting that energy, I mean, you could just run into a wall for, and some people are like, well, I worked hard, why is this reward? And you're like, well, you're not working, you got to stop and think what you're using that energy for.
Do you see that a lot in comedy? Or just in terms of, because I feel like a lot of people also in creative fields too kind of just have the mentality of just like hustle. And some people I think succeed purely because of their tenacity. But, you know, there are instances where people just sort of work aimlessly and it's not really servicing something.
Well, I think a lot of that is the misconception of what they want or what they think the thing is. And then they get in it and they're like, well, and they're not necessarily sure what it is, or they figure it and they're still never sure, but they know if they keep pushing this one button, the thing happens.
Right.
So that's all they do. And that's what I'm talking about too. Like, you can't just keep just the inertia the same way.
Right.
You have to stop and look at what you're doing. Like, just hard work, just that is not going to do it. You have to be aware of why you're doing what you're doing and where you're going with what you're doing, not just going.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think capitalism is, it puts the illusion that if you just get up and get in the machine,
right,
it'll happen.
It'll take you away.
But that's the illusion. It's like you have to know what the machine is going to do for you before you jump in.
Are you riding? Are you controlling the machine? Or are you just working? Are you working
you're just
for the machine?
Pulling those levers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like that. I think it made me, what made me realize that was in college, right before I quit, right after I found stand up. I was having trouble with the corporate side, this business side of this communications degree I was trying to get. And it was because they were teaching drones, these corporate drones. And there was no critical thinking. And that just, I didn't realize it at the time consciously, but there was something in me like, something's off.
Right.
And then I found stand up. I was like, I'm getting the fuck out of here. Right. I'm going to do this.
That makes sense. I mean, like working in digital media, I meet a lot of people who simply by getting into a company, that's their end game. Mm-hmm. And then they get really unhappy, and I'm like, well, is this what you want to do? And they're like, well, I'm at this good company, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, but you didn't even ask yourself if this is what you want to do.
Yeah.
Because, I think a lot of the times people get, especially like what we're taught, this pattern of like, go to school, get a degree, and then work for X company or whatever, and you're doing great. And sometimes people, they really take their foot off the gas when they get that at whatever company.com email or business card, and they're like, ha, 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 I've done it. Cut to like, wait, was that the goal?
I'm stuck. You know,
There's this huge expose that New York Magazine just did about Vice.
Right.
And they said that their model for all those years that they were like having all this insane financial success, which was a lot of it just like bluffing and blustering and like Shane Smith being good at selling the Vice brand to people. But one of their senior executives was like, we had what we called a rule of 22.
Right.
Hire only 22-year-olds, pay them $22,000 a year, and work them 22 hours a day.
Yeah.
And it's like, they worked their ass off with an idea that they were going to go somewhere in Vice, but they didn't take a step back and be like, oh, this is just a fucking hipster shell game. This
is bullshit.
Like, it's not worth it for me to work
22
hours.
Some of you I know who've worked at Vice, they were just enduring it because I'd be like, they're like, I haven't been paid and like, blah, blah, blah. I'm freelancing. I'm like, well, what the fuck are you doing? Like, well, it's Vice.
Right.
So like, I mean, like, it's going to like open up other doors, and I'm sure it will. And it did. But like for a while, there are a lot of people who just sort of rationalize away like why they need to be treated better or deserve more because they were simply like, well, I'm aligned with this brand. That's really
my friend Matt Davis says that kind of stuff's called dream profiteering. Yeah, where it still gets they do it in comedy too, where it's like, hey, we'll pay you an exposure, or just we'll teach you things. You're like, that's not how any of this works.
Right, exactly.
That's not, they're making money, but you're not off you your product.
You have played me.
Yeah.
All right, guys. With that, let's get into the stories of the day, which will mostly be more of that.
A lot of dream profiteering.
A lot of
My whole thing with
greedy
Vice
people
was like,
being assholes.
How fast and out of nowhere this fashion mag out of Montreal became $1 billion company in 5 years. I was like, there's something about that that doesn't make sense.
Just doesn't seem quite right.
Just numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So, like we said up top, Michael Cohen is expected to flip, which is kind of what we thought was going to happen, what people speculated was going to happen. He has not traditionally been the most loyal of people.
A dolphin pin on his lapel. Just a little dolphin.
So the reason people are thinking this, he dismissed his legal counsel. He has hired new lawyers. It's not like he's decided to defend himself. He has hired new lawyers who have more experience in Southern New York. So it's entirely possible that this is just him kind of pivoting.
Right.
But we'll see. Miles, you were pointing out one other option is that he's trying to maybe signal that he needs help.
Yeah, I know some people want to really jump on the idea like, oh, well, he got rid of his lawyers means that like one thing. It could, I mean, a lot of other lawyers that I've heard talk about it say like, oh, well, you know, one thing is that he may have irreconcilable differences with them and just wants to change. Another thing could be is he could be broke and they just cost too much money.
Right.
Or he's pursuing a different legal strategy. But I think, you know, right now they're saying that, you know, he thinks the indictment is just imminent and he just shooketh. But I think with him even leaking these things, it's to send up a little bit of a smoke signal, a flare to his boy to be like, yo, where are you? Because it's getting real for me now and I need your help.
Right.
So we'll see if, we'll see where that goes.
Now he's going to see that old boy is going to be like, oh, I can't.
Yeah. Well, it's tough because, I mean, this is a big week. On Friday, Paul Manafort goes in for his arraignment and chances are he might end up in jail on Friday. And like,
he'll
be like, yo,
you're in jail.
Oh, yeah. And then we'll see how tight-lipped he is when he has to be in prison rather than being on house arrest,
and
because that's a whole different
game. And can go to
the
Hamptons if he wants to.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Michael Cohen, you know, I guess the one good thing for Trump is that most of his fuckery doesn't have much to do with the campaign itself, but just many other weird things to do with the Trump organization or just, like, campaign-adjacent things. But, you know, who knows what this man knows? So, I don't know.
They all know. I mean, if you read anything about Cohen, it's just that I think what happens with some of these dudes, they're like children to see what they're going to get away with. And when they don't get caught immediately, slap their hand or the iron doesn't burn them immediately, they're like, oh, I got away with this. You can do it this way.
Right. Yeah.
And then they just keep doing it that way. And then one day someone goes, yo,
that's illegal.
You can't do that.
It's not okay.
And they're like, no, it's cool. We've been doing it this way for a while. And you're like, yeah, but that's because no one looked at you.
Yeah.
Right.
And you're going to jail for a long time. And they're like, whoa.
Right. Whoa. Hey, now.
What do you mean I can't wipe my ass with these Lysol disinfecting wipes? They're not for body use, my guy. But
is that my fault you guys didn't catch me?
Right.
Yeah.
That's my favorite reaction is like, yo, hey, it's you didn't catch me for a long time. So.
Yeah. Oh, and now we're going to act like this is bad.
Yeah. It's like your son being like, it's your fault, Dad. You weren't looking after me. And you're like, I mean, you fuckhead.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. And so there is word of a meeting between Deputy Attorney General Rob Rosenstein and the Congressional Oversight Committee, is it? where they are basically, you know, they've been threatening him. He's been like, you're not going to threaten me and get away with it.
Right.
They've been threatening him still, saying that they're going to, you know, if he doesn't give them all of the information about the investigation.
You're talking about the Select Committee on Intelligence.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Yeah, of course. Is that not what I said?
Oh, you said oversight. No, I just want to make sure, you know, for the wonks out there, I'm like, first thing I was like, wait, who?
Someone's gotten letters before. That's all that comment is. Like, actually, it's this before
we actually letters. And also, independents can only vote in open primaries.
It's the group Nunes is like head of, right?
The House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence is where all the memo and like, let me just pretend that I got evidence from the White House. Yeah, that's where all the main fuckery has gone.
And they've been saying that Rosenstein hasn't been like open enough, and they've been trying to subpoena emails and phone records. And report is that he basically was like, well, you know, if you go down this path, I am going to have to defend myself by investigating you, which would not be good for you.
Right.
Because the shit you are doing is super fucking shady. And so Fox News broke this story, believing it to be like a, we got you, Rosenstein scoop. Like, this is, you're trying to come at Nunes. And people are now taking it more as like, well, yeah, but he can investigate them. And if Nunes didn't do anything weird, then it shouldn't be a problem for him. And it just seems like it's going in the other direction where it will be a problem for him.
Oh, it, without things, a doubt, would be a problem.
Because he was coordinating with the White House and leading the obscuring campaign of nonsense. And he's been wrong at every turn. So Devin Nunes is not really, batting average is shitty, to say the least.
Right.
I think everyone's just kind of frustrated because it's like, most people, and I would say most people being 60%, understand that if you're telling the truth and above board about what you're doing at all times, none of this nonsense happens.
Right.
You don't have to be like, hey, there's a conspiracy. I mean, every now and then there is a conspiracy against you. That's how stuff works. But not all of them. Mm-hmm. Not all
the time.
Thank
you for shouting out the network, How Stuff Works.
Thank you. I'm getting good at Hollywood.
Yeah, no, you're good. Yeah, that was seamless.
Very
that was
good
seamless.
At Hollywood. Thank you. Yes. Thank you so much. But it is that thing. I think everyone's just like, yo, you guys. Again, it's like watching children.
Right.
It's the same thing as like, we know what you're doing. Stop it. I just feel like Happy Gilmore in that scene with Shooter McGavin when he's like trying to like passive aggressive get him to be in the long drive stuff and off the tour.
Mm-hmm.
And and Happy just looks at him and he goes, I know what you're doing and I don't like it.
right.
And that's what I think the whole country feels like right now. Like, listen, we know what you're doing.
Right.
Stop it.
Yeah.
And we don't know it. And Mueller's just like, just chill.
Right.
I've got it.
Maybe. Maybe he's like that. You think he's like that?
I think I was saying this the other day. I think dealing with someone like Trump and that thing is they're so immoral, you have to have everything on them. You have to play it so conservatively, there's no wiggle room for people like him.
Yeah, take all the oxygen out.
You have to smother them, and that's why he's taking his time. And he's like, we're just going to slam dunk this, because anybody immoral like that with our system can get out.
Right.
He knows that.
With a fully operational propaganda wing.
But we'll see what happens. He might take all the oxygen out, and then out of nowhere, Trump pulls out his little scuba mask, and he's like, guess what? I can still breathe, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
I
mean, that scuba never mask know. Being the Republican Congress.
Gets in a U-boat and goes to Argentina.
All right, we're going to be right back. And we're back, and so is Scott Pruitt.
Yes.
We have more details of Scott Pruitt.
Summer
fuckery.
Of Scott, baby.
He
Summer
just came Scott. In and stole my coffee.
Yeah. Just another detail, just put it on the list. He was still working in the interest of his wife. Good husband.
It was still for him. It's still for him somehow.
Right.
You know what I
mean? He was basically like, she needs to get work because she's spending too much time criticizing me at home and we need money.
Here's the thing. So again, throw it on the list of thousands of dollars being spent on pens, so much money being spent on flights, millions of dollars being spent on security, driving them around, finding lotions, finding used mattresses, only getting snacks from Dean and DeLuca, all this other shit. Trying to get his wife a Chick-fil-A franchise.
Using sirens to get to a dinner reservation.
That's late. Pretty smart. I mean, he's not dumb. Like, which franchise prints money?
Right.
Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, seriously. He picked the right one.
Yeah, that one's smart.
Exactly. He did his research. And it kind of sounds like a version of, like, a comedy from the 90s where some, like, outsider becomes, like, in the government.
That's
and just like, hey, buddy, put the sirens on. I'm late for my kid's recital.
And right. I was like, damn, yeah. Doug Kenny wrote this.
Yeah. So this latest one is one of his top aides reached out to like the top Republican donors in their official capacity once again at the EPA to try to find his wife a job with one of them. And they succeeded, but then it went away when there was more scrutiny being put on this. But in this Washington Post article, they're talking about how they suspect that, you know, a lot of this scrambling and scheming could be because our boy Scotty's got some B-I-L-L-Z bills to pay. Mm-hmm. He's got a house in Oklahoma, like with a pretty hot mortgage on there, like some $5,000 plus a month kind of deal. And he also has a snazzy D.C. apartment he's got to pay for. And so this coupled with the fact that his wife used to work as a school nurse, he's trying to get her back into the workforce. And mm-hmm. so, again, yeah, he could be a great husband or a husband that has made a lot of mistakes and needs to make up for it. Right. I still don't know which one it is.
I mean, let's just look at his job performance. He doesn't seem great with money. So I could see that transferring into his personal life right. as well, or just bleeding into.
Yeah. So. I mean, this guy has 14 ongoing investigations into his behavior and actions while in his post at the EPA. So conspiracy. I don't think, honestly, I don't know if it'll ever stop. I mean, 14 fucking investigations and they're still like, hey, man, but he knows how to fuck the earth. So
right.
we love him.
Yes.
And he's just shitting on anything to do with Obama era environmental protection.
Well, I think that's what I mean.
Yeah.
That if you do look at it that way, if your main goal is to just fuck all that shit up.
Yeah.
He's your boy.
No, he's your guy.
Out of the
park. I did not know man-made earthquakes were a thing, but this dude is an oil man from Oklahoma. Yeah. Now Oklahoma has earthquakes like every 30 minutes because yeah. of people.
Every
like
30
him.
Minutes?
Oh, no, really? No, it's crazy.
There are certain areas, right?
Yeah,
yeah, the fracking.
Yeah, yeah. There's a great 60-minute story
on
that.
All
people
because
should look up.
You can't put the groundwater back in there, and they're yes. like, "Yeah, you can." Like, uh-huh. No, don't because
oh, what's gonna happen?
Like, go fuck yourself. We don't live here.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. Those like boom towns, like the fracking boom towns. When you hear about those, you're like, "Woo!"
Yeah.
Some interesting stories.
Mm-hmm. All right, Miles. It's your time to shine, baby. World Cup. World Cup 2018 is about to begin in Russia.
That was a vuvuzela.
World Cup 2026
that was like a DJ version.
Has yeah. just been announced to be happening in North America.
Will we all be getting along by then?
Yeah.
Mexico, United States, and Canada?
There'll be
we'll
no
see.
Border. There'll
right.
be no border. It'll
right.
just be we'll yeah. be we'll be the West.
Ooh.
It'll be 2 years out of the Trump presidency, so we'll mm-hmm. have time to, you know, do some cleanup.
The mutants will be destroyed.
Yeah, right.
Or the mutants will take over.
Oh, either way.
I think both of these stories are interesting in the context of the way that a World Cup or an Olympics just changes its host country and is like treated by the local government. If you remember, Brazil was turned into a police state from a Judge Dredd comic. Like
right.
just, and London too. London locked down the entire city with closed circuit cameras, put rocket launchers on the sides of buildings, and built a wall like right through the middle of the city, which required them to like just knock poor people's homes down.
Yeah.
Yeah, poor people just get so fucked whenever you bring a big event like this to their town.
100%. Because all the resources go to these infrastructure improvements, and then everyone's looking at you like, what the fuck are y'all doing? We yeah. have real problems here, and you want to build a fucking track and field
right.
stadium?
You could have just stopped that sentence at, poor people just get so fucked.
Yes. They
That's
get
like
especially
if there's a road
fucked.
Or you know, a casino coming in.
Like
or,
you,
yeah.
you know how Lincoln suspended habeas corpus for the Civil War? It's like that level of emergency, but it's just taken towards fucking poor people because right. they will preemptively arrest you for just because they like don't want you around.
Yeah, or just like,
happened in the Ukraine.
Yeah, for the mm-hmm. Euro Cup. There's a lot of stuff that happens to get these games ready.
Yeah.
And Russia is definitely no
yeah.
Oh, man.
What dude. Is Russia doing?
I mean, so before, Jack, you're like, well, you know, what do you want to talk about? What's some stuff to look out for? I'm like, okay.
Perfect impression to me.
Yeah.
I didn't know who was
hey,
talking.
Miles, what do you want to talk about soccer today?
And I'm like, wow. Okay, Jack.
You got them freaking out in here.
Yeah.
Two of them.
So... You know, there's so many things. I was like, well, let's see. What do you want to talk about? What are the things to keep an eye out for in the World Cup? Terrorism, homophobia, racism, hooligans, animal cruelty, wasted mm-hmm. money on stadiums, or instant replay?
Those are the first things that came to mind.
I don't know. So I guess to start off, you know, Russia basically stole this World Cup. A lot of people in England believe from them. because, you know, FIFA is a corrupt fucking organization.
Right.
So they know how to grease the wheels.
Absolute power corrupts, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. So if you want to read into all that darkness, there's plenty of articles on how Russia jacked the World Cup. But again, there are many concerns. So
just watch the John Oliver 20-minute piece about it.
He right,
really
yeah,
sums
exactly.
It up.
Exactly.
That's a great,
that's a great cliff notes.
So I guess point by point, there are all kinds of things that are concerns for people going to the World Cup. Not that, I don't know. I personally, this has been like, I don't think there's been a more politically contentious backdrop for a World Cup since like maybe Argentina in the 70s.
Wait till Qatar.
Yeah, right.
Oh my
gosh. Yeah. Oh my God. So for now, it's this, considering all the doping, all the annexations and invasions and aggressive acts.
This is controversy like popping its neck.
Yeah.
And right. Qatar's like, we're getting ready.
Oh, get ready, man. Yeah. So this one, you know, there are many concerns. I think first and foremost, security has been a huge concern for Putin because he knows that all eyes are on Russia.
Right.
And he absolutely does not want anything to go down, especially in terms of terrorism, because, you know, a lot of people have been like focused, have made threats about attacking the World Cup. But he like made it very clear to the security forces there is like, this is not the time to fuck
right.
up.
Yeah. If anything, this plays to his strengths and his country's strengths.
Yeah, locking it the fuck down.
Yeah, just locking shit down, being a fucking strong-arm authoritarian, making people disappear who you don't want around.
Yeah.
Like, that is his bread and butter.
Yeah. So another thing, homophobia and racism. In the stands in Russian, like the Russian League, my goodness, the ultras there are racist, like Nazis, like
there's a different Nazi iconography. Stadium, they're playing a different sport.
Well, the ultras are definitely, which are the mega fans, are definitely on some other shit.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, in a country like Russia where there's state sanctioned homophobia and oppression of LGBT people, that's one thing to consider. And even like there are people like Danny Rose, who plays for the English national team, who's black. He was even telling his family, like, yo, let's just stay home. Just watch on TV. Because a lot of people are concerned because, there's a lot of shit has gone down in those games, and it's not the most inviting atmosphere, to say the least.
Yeah.
The hooligans, also another thing. So the Russians last year or 2 years ago at the Euro Cup, they got in a massive altercation with English hooligans or fans in Marseille while the Euro Cup was happening. You know, there's a lot of money being spent on trying to monitor these ultras and these hooligans. Like, they're spending money on, you know, all kinds of facial recognition technology, having facial recognition drones like fly around to, you know, ID any tomfoolery. There's one city where there will be like 300 Cossack paramilitary officers on horseback to help aid local authorities and shit goes off too much.
Who are the Cossacks?
What? These are the same guys. I mean, you may remember them.
Hedge fund I should invest in that backs all this drone and
right.
footage? Because seems like...
That's all going to the Chinese, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, the Chinese have the best facial recognition technology because they can just feed billions of people's faces into their algorithm because, you know, the government controls everything.
Yeah, and they recently caught some people at a concert just using facial recognition technology, like by just having cameras at the gates, and they found people with warrants. They're like, oh, there you are.
Son of a bitch.
So, you know, the Cossack paramilitary forces, back in May, there were like some anti-government protests going down. These were the dudes who were like horsewhipping the anti-government protesters.
Mm-hmm.
And they also pledged to report any gay stuff they see, like any same-sex anything, they're going to report them. I don't think it's going to be – they're going to enforce their draconian laws, but – they've made a point to, like, we'll also be reporting any.
Hey, officer, I saw some gay shit over there.
Yeah exactly.
No, gay bashing is an actual, like, national pastime in Russia. Like, literal gay bashing. Like, we interviewed a guy who just, like, went there on vacation, and he arrived on a Friday night, and one of the activities people were engaging in was, like, getting in a van and going around to fuck up, like, people who struck them as being gay.
What kind of tour was he on?
He was actually going to fly a MiG into space.
Wow.
That's why we interviewed him.
I'm going over to Russia. I'm going to fly a MiG into space. I'm going to punch a gay.
Right.
I just got some stuff to do.
No, he wasn't there to do that. He incidentally was just like, oh, and by the way, if you go to Russia, this is the sort of shit you see.
It's like when you go to some of those countries and they're like, do you want to shoot a goat with a rocket launcher?
Right.
And in Russia, they're like, well, you can punch one of our gays for
$10.
Yeah.
And there's just a gay dude like, punch me.
I mean, the other thing, like, obviously, like we were saying, the money that is spent is another huge thing. They spent $11 billion on infrastructure improvements for, you know, either building new stadiums or improving existing ones. And a lot of these stadiums, you know, their plan, like we've seen in, like, Greece, like, after the Olympics, like, how all the infrastructure has just turned to a ghost town, how Sochi became a ghost town, how a lot of stadiums in Brazil, like, people were just paying to be like, can I have my kid's birthday in this empty fucking thing?
Right.
They, you know, their plan is to remove a bunch of seats to shrink the capacity, but, and, like, let smaller teams play there. But a lot of those teams don't have the numbers to fill a stadium like that. And also, this comes at a time where around half or over half of Russians consider themselves to be poor. Like, in, like, when talking about the wage gap or the wealth gap in that country, which is pretty significant. Important note, the United States is also, I think, at a similar structural, like, wage gap that's comparable to Russia's. So
could it be that if you owned a bunch of, or loosely, let's say, allegedly loosely associated with these construction companies that need to build these stadiums, wouldn't it be like, oh, where can I make a bunch of money? Oh, who has the most money?
Right.
The public.
Right.
Right.
So let's go raid their money, and I'll just get richer and richer, like I did in Sochi.
Right, right.
I'm just saying, like, if I was the president of Russia, that's what I would do.
Yeah,
Vladimir Putin is estimated to be the richest person on the planet Earth. Richest person in the history of the planet Earth, but he's just so corrupt that he keeps the money in people around him.
There you go.
Which is how you become the
rich. Yeah, exactly.
Well, the other thing about those stadiums is, like, a lot
of
these
Coke is like, I'm coming. I'm sorry.
yeah.
I'll see.
A lot of the international press has had to sort of spearhead the outrage around these kinds of things because Russia, you can't really go out there with your chest out and be like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
It doesn't really work out that way. And another thing that's really kind of fucked up, aside from just the litany of things, I mean, there's articles that are just a list of fucked up things that have happened in the buildup to this World Cup, is the animal cruelty aspect. Now, I don't know if you've been on the internet, but, like, Russian stray dogs are kind of, like, mythical on the internet.
Oh, they're amazing.
Like, you've seen they've learned how to use the subway system to commute into cities and stuff like that. They've evolved to understand traffic lights to not
fucking
get hit
awesome.
By cars or, like, cross the street when it's green. When they beg in packs, they put the younger, cuter
the
puppies.
The smart ones make meth.
Yeah. Right. And fake passports.
Yeah. Like, they're into some shit.
Yeah, they are fucking smart. And, like, yeah, they put, like, if they beg in packs, they put the younger, cuter dogs at the front because they've just realized that that's going to be like, oh, let me give
it. Is that real or did you just make
that
up?
No, that's
in
like
a cartoon.
You can see all this shit. Like, there are videos of this. Like,
that's why dogs are better than cats.
Right.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to get into that argument.
Russia stray dogs just destroyed that argument.
Yeah. Right. So estimated about, like, there are 2 million stray dogs in the host cities that they have to address. And the way they've been doing that, according to a lot of people on the ground in watchdog groups, is that there's just basically this policy of poisoning them or shooting them. And the government is like, no, there's nothing like that going on. But there are pictures on social media of, like, dogs just, like, clearly dying in the street. Mm-hmm. From some kind of poisoning. You know, they say other people are just, like, just straight up shooting them or putting them into, like, shelters, quote unquote, but really are just sort of, like, dog, like, death camps, essentially. So they're trying to solve that problem by literally just exterminating the dog problem when a lot of people are just like, this is clearly the most inhumane way to do this. But I guess when your budget is only to have, like, $4 a dog, they can't really properly shelter them or anything like that. And it's a shame. These dogs are very intelligent. And
yeah,
it's
they need to get
it's pretty disturbing.
Yeah, their infrastructure.
Right. Yeah,
it's
I mean,
they figured out how
if they weren't
transportation works.
Yeah, because they're dodging that the cost of a ticket on the subway. You know what I mean? They're fare dodging. And then lastly,
smoking a cigarette. Like, hold on, and
they're
go.
Like, this
go,
isn't
go.
My stop. The interesting thing will be instant replay. This will be the first World Cup this year to use the VAR feature, which is just fancy talk for video reviews. So, like, offsides calls or penalties and things like that will be used to make sure that everything is by the book. And, you know, maybe players aren't getting yellow cards 3 times in a game like that happened in 2006 to this referee, Graham Pohl, who gave a Croatian player 3 yellow cards. Usually get 1, and then the second yellow is a red card. Mm-hmm. He gave one dude 3 because he was, like, so fucking, like, out of it. Mm. Anyway, so Yes, those there's.
What about the flopping? Will that stop the flopping?
Well, that's the thing. So for penalties, like anything that could be a penalty, that's like in terms of getting a penalty shot, that would fall under the VAR thing because they want to make sure people aren't doing no simulation is happening. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the middle of the field, look, baby, this is soccer, so this shit is gonna go down. But I think other than that, it should be a pretty interesting tournament. I like the chances of Germany and maybe France if they can get their shit together. But spiritually, I think I'm rooting for Brazil because I just love their energy, the ginga that they got down there in Brazil. They have so much fun together as
and
a team.
And the best flip-flops.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful flip-flops. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it'll be fun. And I think Egypt and Nigeria from Africa, definitely keep your eyes on them. Keep your eyes on them.
You were showing us footage of the Brazilian team just like hanging out before
practice
or something. And they all have like one percussion instrument or another.
They all got, they just know that's part of like their kit when they travel. It's like you have balls, you have cones, jerseys, and also bring a whole thing of percussion because they're
like just
decent.
Like a drum circle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're everybody singing in rhythm kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 100%.
That's a smart thing.
And if you look from whenever, like, very early on, you can see this is like a thing that they love and it's
Brazil.
Part of them.
That's who I'm
when I show you this video, we'll put it in the footnotes so you can see,
I already got the flops. I
everybody.
Got the flag on there.
Yeah.
That's all I needed.
That's all I got. And now you're
and
Brazilian.
Now I got the percussion. I can get in a rhythm. Let's do it.
Yeah.
It's hot.
Let's do it. Jack, without knowing anything, who do you think is going to win?
Nigeria.
Boom.
For sure.
Good.
Definitely. Put all your money
on it. I like that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They haven't been in the tournament for a minute, but
hungry.
They have the best jerseys.
Yeah, their warm-ups and jerseys are fucking dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And there was a series of primaries yesterday.
Yep. Dude, the fucking guy, remember Cat House on HBO about that the brothel in Nevada?
No.
Oh, there was this HBO documentary series about this famous brothel in Nevada. The guy who runs it, that pimp, he won his primary. He won the nomination for his for state legislature.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He calls himself the Trump of Pahrump.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, but yes, there was all kinds of fun stuff going down yesterday.
The main takeaway seems to be that the guy, Mark Sanford, who disappeared to, what country was it?
Argentina?
Oh, yeah, Argentina for a while with his mistress, and nobody knew where he was, and he was like basically missing for a couple of days and then came back and was like, I was just down there for nothing shady.
Hey,
don't mind me.
What's up, dudes?
He got beat. He was both anti-Trump congressman and also a House Freedom Caucus guy. So he was both far right and anti-Trump. So people are taking this as a referendum on, well, you can't be anti-Trump if you're going to be a Republican because, this guy came out as anti-Trump. But he was also far right. And I just feel like those two Venn diagrams, like being far right and anti-Trump, don't overlap that much.
Right.
So...
But if we find out that in these Republican primaries, at times you think being principled might work or whatever in terms of his principles and being like, well, I don't like Trump, so I'm not going to say that because it's politically beneficial. But I'll say all this other weird shit.
Right.
It didn't work out for him. So you know what, Mark, you had a good comeback story, but
sounds like a bad politician.
No, there's nothing about him that's like masterful. And like, I remember when he was trying to explain that affair, like it went all over the place.
Oh,
and
my
God. It like wove into how he used to call his buddy's basement Jurassic Park. And like, he just said all this weird meandering shit.
Jesus. Like
there
are some people you just look and you're like, oh, you're not good at this.
Right.
Well, the other thing that went down in Virginia is a possible nightmare scenario for the GOP. Corey Stewart, who is the far-right, fascist-loving, neo-Nazi friend and literal defender of Confederate monuments, who tweets stuff like, I'll be damned if a Yankee's going to tell us about how to do with our Confederate monuments. I think homeboy's from Minnesota, first of all.
Well, but homeboy does understand a certain group he's talking to.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
When you hear someone say Yankee, you're like, okay.
And not in a sports context.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, he won the GOP nomination for the Republican seat. So he'll go up against Tim Kaine in November. And a lot of GOP operatives are sort of freaked out a bit because, you know, that's going to be the top of the ticket is the Senate race. And to have this guy is really mostly energizing for far right voters, not the kind of like swing vote. You know, I mean, it's just going to depress a little bit, or they feel that it could depress turnout in the area, especially because they have three very competitive House races happening in the midterms. They need to circle the wagons. And with this guy at the top of the ticket, they're afraid, oh, shit, he might put other people off from even coming out. Yeah. So, you know, we'll see. But that just makes the electoral math a little bit more complicated in Virginia.
The other thing people seem to be taking away is that California might be split into three.
Yeah.
Different states.
Well, it's not going to happen because this is literally the...
And moving on.
People have tried it over 200 times to split the state up. And like the argument is like, well, we need more electoral college votes. We'll get more senators. Like, you know, people can actually advocate for the local needs in the state.
Us being the biggest and being one of the most powerful economies in the world is where our power lies.
Right.
And a quick little fact from super producer Nick Stumpf, the head of the California secessionist movement lives in, you guessed it, Moscow.
Cool.
Weird. Yeah, that's weird.
No, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Moscow, Idaho? You mean Moscow, California?
No.
The, Moscow, Russia?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
that's
I
not
see.
Good.
I see.
So I'm sure there's all sorts of shady reasons that he's...
We would like California to be Russia.
Right, exactly.
Strategically, yeah. It helps us out. Come on, you guys.
I mean, he's kind of legendary. He was one of the first investors in the blood testing startup, Theranos.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That one. How'd that one turn out?
Man.
Oh, I think...
Indictment?
Charged with massive fraud by the SEC.
God, I can't wait to watch that documentary.
That's going to be so good.
Oh, yeah. Too.
Well, it's all short-sighted dingbats. Screaming, I mean, Alaska, they have a party where they're like, we want to be independent. And everybody's like, I mean, we kind of are, so just chill. We get the federal stuff.
Right.
We make, no one cares what we do. So just, but there are always those people that's why they live in Alaska. They're like, ain't nobody telling us what to do. And I think people have that here in Texas the same way. Where every time I go to Texas, there's somebody like, we need to be our own country. And you're like, you guys are your own planet. So just chill.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't see that much happening there. But again, you know, these are the kinds of things that can happen when you have these voter-initiated ballot propositions.
That's good. It's good.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a double-edged sword. You can get stuff like this, and then you can also get stuff about, like, loosening laws on, you know, marijuana.
It's like that free speech stuff where people are like, I want free speech, except for what that guy's saying.
Right. Yeah.
You're like, no, you got to hear everything.
I want free speech to say the awful shit that I believe.
I want speech free of consequence.
Yeah. Exactly.
What it is.
Yeah. By the way, you mentioned California being the fifth largest economy, and it occurred to me that I'd never hear what the four largest are. So it's United States, China, Japan, Germany, and then California. And California just passed the UK to be the fifth after falling as low as 10th.
So, thanks, marijuana.
Hey, yeah. Right
on. It's only going up, baby.
All right, guys, quick pop culture recommendations. Boom, Miles. You had a great piece of art that you wanted to tell us about.
Yes, I have a piece of art of culture that people need to get on, and that is the amazing two men scissoring during a Major League Baseball game. Now, Jake Bowers and Carlos Gomez, they literally were going for a foul ball, and they scissored the fuck out of each other. It's like an insane sports fuck.
It's just
like,
amazing. It shouldn't have been physically possible.
It's the most violent
somehow.
Thing here. Let me just show it, Billy Wayne, because I don't know if you've seen this clip. Oh. But just so you can, I know you love baseball.
I do.
And here he goes. They're going for it. They're both hunting it down.
Oh.
Now you got to watch the replay because the replay is.
There's a lot of pressure there.
Ah. Oh. There it is.
Ooh, full on sis.
Yeah.
Did they come out of the game or did they both?
Nah, I mean, it took a second. I mean, right after they were just, this is another
rolling
angle
around.
And smash. Call them, they're the new
those.
Face of Fiskars.
Dick
the trusted
on Dick.
Scissor brand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is
lesbians
amazing,
for me.
another amazing piece of culture that you should see. We'll put that clip up for you to check out.
Yeah.
And also, Safe. On Netflix, I watched that, and I was not as disappointed as I thought I would be.
Hey, ringing endorsement.
Yeah, well, I guess more because, like, I hear that Michael C. Hall is going to be speaking, like, with an English accent, like, what that looks like. It was fine. It wasn't distracting, but the story itself was intriguing. If you like a little murder mystery, a little intrigue in your life, so check that out.
Hey, speaking of murder mysteries, the original murder mystery documentary, The Staircase, is now up on Netflix. This is one that, like, I had heard so much buzz about from people that I, like, went and bought it on iTunes or bought the first two episodes. But it's really intriguing. It's like one of the solutions.
Wait, so it's a murder mystery.
So a woman is killed at the beginning. It seems pretty obvious that her husband did it. And then the more you learn, the less you think he did it, but the more strange he becomes. And then, like, there are these other competing theories. Like, I believed by the end of the second episode that an owl did it.
Okay.
So
I'm gonna watch that.
Not like a cartoon owl. Like, you'll see. You should watch it.
It could have been a cartoon owl.
Yeah, it could have been a cartoon owl. We don't know.
We
don't know.
From the Tootsie Pop commercial.
I also want to say Westworld. I was, like, okay with the first season, but the first half of the second season has been really dope. I don't know. It feels almost Inception-y, and it's, you know, written and created by Nolan's brother, and I don't know. Mm. It feels like a TV version of Inception, just popping between different levels where different, like, metaphysical laws exist in the worlds, and just also a shitload of cool violence.
Hashtag cool violence.
Cool violence. Billy Wayne, you got anything for us?
I like that Lily Allen, her new record that I think came out today. I like her just in general. I think she's fascinating and interesting. And then just ZZ Top. Maybe just go back and listen to ZZ Top, you guys.
ZZ Top.
It's like really great.
Hey, kids,
rock and roll, you guys.
Gonna love that ZZ Top.
Like, some of you that, like, what? Just go listen to ZZ Top. I'm like, this is good.
Yeah. And for people who are like, Lily Allen, why? If you like Game of Thrones, her brother, Theon Greyjoy.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. She's also just a dope lady. Kind of does her own thing. She's interesting.
And finally, for anybody with young children, so I was recently traveling with my 2-year-old. It was a nightmare. He's at the age where he's, like, not quite entertained by movies yet, like, or he will be for 10 minutes, and then he gets disinterested. I showed him Coco. I showed him Sing. The Findings, both Nemo and Dory. Frozen. By the end of the trip, I was, like, desperate. And then we got off the plane, and my wife was waiting for me to pick up the car from where we had parked it. She was with him, and she just threw on Pets, which was, like, the last movie we had on the iPhone that we hadn't played for him. And he was, like, belly laughing the whole way home.
Wow.
So I think they must have, like, just aimed jokes at this particular developmental level. So if you have somebody who's almost exactly 2 who you need to keep entertained and in a good mood for a set period of time, I would suggest Pets.
Yeah. And Requiem for a Dream.
Yes. Also Eraserhead.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's
yes.
good. Just,
they love it.
And if you want to give your son some culture, how about Snow on the Bluff? Mm-hmm. Have you seen that one? That sort of seemingly real crime documentary?
No.
In Atlanta? Ooh, boy, it's fucking crazy.
Okay, I'll show it to Ramsey tonight.
If he wants to know about
my child away. Yeah.
I mean, I showed him, you know, they were robbing a Trump house.
Billy Wayne, it's been a goddamn pleasure, as always, having
you,
man.
I love it.
We love having you. Where can people find you?
Just Google Billy Wayne Davis. All my stuff comes up. I'm going on tour, like I said earlier in the episode.
The Heaven Tour, you're calling it. Right?
If you come to my show and give me $10 and watch the show, I guarantee when you die, you will go to heaven. Okay?
And I don't think anyone has a guarantee that good for any of their shows.
You don't have to do, definitely not in entertainment.
No.
And I don't know many churches where the deal is that easy.
Yeah.
No,
they usually require a lot of bullshit.
But
they do.
People should know does not guarantee laughter.
Right.
I know that'll be part of it. That's
nice.
No, you'll get to heaven, but, like, you'll laugh and probably about some stuff that will make you uncomfortable.
All right.
That's what I will promise you that.
So where can people, what are your upcoming dates?
In 2 weeks, June 21st to the 23rd, I am in New Orleans with Louisiana. I'm doing a show every night. That's all on Billy Wayne Davis, the Tumblr. It's just Billy Wayne Davis Tumblr. It's on the tours stuff. It's on Twitter at Billy Wayne Davis. It's on Instagram at Billy Wayne Davis. I'm going to be in Dublin at the end of July, which is really exciting. And then I'm going through the South. I'm still adding dates. through July too, and then land up in Dublin, and then August, and then I'm adding dates September and October. So I'm gonna just tour through
the summer, basically,
through the fall. Yeah, and then I'm gonna try to record a special in November.
Nice.
October, November.
Miles. So pull up and represent. Oh, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Which I already knew that.
Find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song that we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be?
Well, you know, we were talking a little bit about Robert Mueller, and I was just kind of thinking of like a vibey song.
Here's his jam band.
Here's his jam band. This is a track from Condon Moccasin, who's a dope artist. I actually had the pleasure of opening for when I was still playing music. Ooh, cool. for a little bit of money. And this track's called I'm the Man That Will Find You. Because, hey, Mr. Trump, if Robert Mueller is that man, he will possibly find you. Mm. But we don't know. We don't know. But listen to this track, because, oh my goodness, it just put it on the bedroom, put it on the kitchen. Somebody's going to start smoking.
Not in the living room.
Not in the living room. No.
Mama kick you out of
hell. No. It's, but shit will start smoking with this song. So just feel it in your blood. Feel it in your veins.
All right. We're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you then. Bye.
Yeah. misfit, I'm over, you see.